jewelry is like very intimate. You could not never know what was the story behind, because it's the whole story of the author. You know the story and you understand it from absolutely different side. It's like universe. Yeah, with some people it's not so easy to speak. I mean, they are closed, you need to open them, and I'm very curious.
Willkommen bei Others and Me. In diesem Podcast treffe ich mich mit Menschen, die mit Schmuck zu tun haben. Mich interessiert, welche Rolle Schmuck in deren Leben spielt. Ich will wissen, was sie motiviert, fasziniert, inspiriert, wo sie herkommen und wo sie hinwollen. Es geht um Schmuckmomente, dieses besondere Schmuckgefühl und wie es ist, wenn man sein Leben danach ausrichtet. Diese Menschen besuche ich in ihren Werkstätten oder treffe ich hier in München auf dem Tragbar-Sofa.
Good morning, Elena Karpilova. I'm really happy to meet you here during the Jewelry Week in Munich. And you was born in Belarus and now you live in Lisbon. And you describe yourself as an interdisciplinary person. So you study art historian and build up a school for architectural thinking for children. You write texts about jewelry and do content for the Art Jewelry Forum. And you are a self-taught jeweler. So you do really, really a lot of things, and I'm so happy to hear your story.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Yes, I'm very happy to meet you and happy to be here in your podcast. It's quite interesting because usually when I'm visiting some exhibitions, some jewelry exhibitions, and people ask me like, but who are you? What you are doing exactly? During the one exhibition here, the artist, I was asking her like, can you please tell me something about your works? Mm-hmm. And she said, who are you? I said, well, I'm writing about jewelry. And she said, okay, so if you're writing about jewelry, it's your work to think about my works. You can make an interpretation. I'm just making jewelry. Yeah. So I was thinking maybe I should introduce myself a bit different, but it's like rhetorical question. Who needs to make what in which way? Like if you make jewelry, do you need to think about it more or to analyze, to make more reflections on it? So what am I doing? I can start from the very beginning, mm-hmm. not from the birth, but from the education. I have two educations. First, I finished a college as a like fine artist, mm-hmm. like very, very classical one, oil, canvas, Lefkas, icons, so all these techniques mm-hmm. we studied. It was quite good college. I'm from Belarus, by the way.
That's what I want to ask. You're from Belarus.
Yeah.
You study also in Belarus.
Yes. And this is the post-Soviet country. Mm-hmm. And I think our countries of this eastern region, they're quite famous by this hard skills. Mm-hmm. We miss a lot like soft skills maybe mm-hmm. and some studies connected with like analyzing something and you know, but about the hard skills, how to draw very realistic and so mm-hmm. on, I think it's like still quite good education. So I finished college and then I finished 6 years studies in university mm-hmm. as an art historian mm-hmm. and it was as for me quite utopian specialization, because it was called comparative critic of arts. Mm-hmm. As it means that you need to know everything as much as you can about theater, about cinema, about fine arts, about applied arts, and so on and so on. I love the idea. It's a very good idea, but I find it a bit utopian. But at least we studied a bit how to compare these fields, how to analyze it in complex, and it's very useful. And in parallel, maybe like 10 years ago, I started to be more interested in jewelry, in contemporary jewelry, I don't remember the exact moment of my life, how it all began. In Belarus, we have absolutely no jewelry school, even like classical one. Mm-hmm. You cannot study jewelry. I speak English. I sometimes work in English. And from my childhood, parents wanted to give me maybe better future, and I studied English from the childhood, which is quite rare in our countries. And I was, I don't know, like exploring internet. I found the website Klimt02. I was mm-hmm. like, what is the strange mm-hmm. name Klimt, what? And and which is not absolutely connected with Klimt, with jewelry, and what, wow, what a jewelry. And I started to do the page. I started to post information in Instagram mm-hmm. on my page about contemporary jewelry. I was not analyzing jewelry, but I was making like stories, like very simple. The mm-hmm. work, and always, of course, mentioning author, techniques, and so on. And I was, and I'm still the only one from Belarus who is making this. Mm-hmm. And I like to give to people something new. It was for me like fresh air, and I could even say that this field, in some moments of my life, like even saved me, because to live in Belarus was quite mm-hmm. hard mm-hmm. sometimes. And I was talking about jewelry. I was translating some information in my blog, and then I started also to experiment with jewelry, to do something. I have no education in jewelry mm-hmm. field, but I found some people, you know, some classical jewelry makers. It was also not so easy because they all refused. They said like, for what do you need to study? You are a woman, and why you need it? Maybe it's just like mm-hmm. one day interest. Mm-hmm. This patriarchy, I think, in our country, they spoke from this patriarchal side. But I studied a bit, and I do sometimes jewelry from plastic, from different materials. Last years, I almost didn't do nothing because of this, because of the war, mm-hmm. invasion in mm-hmm. Ukraine, and I'm from Belarus, and it's like, of course, it's a huge tension on me, and I decided to dive more into theoretical part, mm-hmm. the theoretical aspect of jewelry. And also, I'm art historian, so it's I like to write articles, and mm-hmm. I wrote some not about jewelry before. Yeah, but still, it's like I call it jewelry sphere is my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. Maybe not guilty, but pleasure, mm-hmm. because the main thing I do is connected with education for kids. Me with my partner, we have a project, Architectural Thinking School for Children, and I always say like it's 7 years old, like a child, or it's 8 years old. This year mm-hmm. it will be 8 years old child, it's a very interdisciplinary educational project for children, which we established in Belarus mm-hmm. because of the lack of contemporary education. Our system there, it's like in Soviet Union a bit, mm-hmm. and like mathematics, language, but it's not only in Belarus, I should say, because I explore educational systems in different parts of Europe also, and not only Europe. So, and we studied like architecture, ecology, sociology, politology mm-hmm. with children. It's absolutely possible. Just the tricky part is to translate these sciences in a language of children. Mm-hmm. And so it's a project where we teach children to think like an architect. It means as much, you need to know as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Maybe not very deep, but you should know everything about the world. Mm-hmm. And more you know, better you are. Mm-hmm. Good architects should not build buildings, nice mm-hmm. buildings, mm-hmm. but should think about the problems of people, how to solve it, and with which instruments. They need to be even like a bit psychologists to communicate with people and know their problems and so on and so on. So that's what we do in our school. And we continue to do it. We moved to Lisbon in 2022. And we continue our project now with children, migrants. More of them are from Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am continue to do the things with the jewelry. I'm writing articles for our jewelry forum. And now in my blog and Instagram, I'm sometimes writing little texts.
Yeah, and you also tell in the beginning that this was the door opener to get in a new world and found contemporary jewelry in this huge wide web.
Yeah.
And for you it seems like it was, you tell before, it gives you pleasure and it makes you heart open. And so for that, it's really important to have the internet, or?
Yeah, of course. It's a contemporary art, and it's not only contemporary art, it's language. For me, it's language. Mm-hmm. I see an object and I read the story, I read the state of the author. For me, it's not a photo of the object, and even not a three-dimensional mm-hmm. object. Mm-hmm. It's the whole story in the object, in this jewelry. Yeah.
And also, it's so important to see the picture of a jewelry and then the words. You're talking about you writing texts of jewelry. So how important is it for you to get a construct of a text about jewelry and jewelry maker? So this is also part of describing the art piece or the artwork.
Of course. I like so much when I see the piece and a person could describe the piece, or I read about the piece. And usually I compare my thoughts, my feelings, mm-hmm. and my interpretation with interpretation of the author, because most of the time, maybe jewelry is like very intimate. You could mm-hmm. never know what was the story behind, mm-hmm. because it's the whole story of the author. I know some, you know the story and you understand it from absolutely different side. It's like universe, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then you met yesterday a guy standing on the street. You told me. Can you tell me more about this, project?
Oh, yeah. People asking me during Jewelry Week, like, okay, tell me, what did you see? What could you recommend? What was the most interesting? Mm-hmm. Usually, I cannot answer very short, but mm-hmm. yesterday I could answer very short. I said, yes, guys, I know what was the most interesting. I saw in Instagram, by the way, mm-hmm. yes, I'm supporting.
Why are you taking a rest?
Yeah. I saw in Instagram of Theo Smith's post, just a photo with a jeweler, Detlef Thomas, telling that he has a perfect exhibition, come to see him. I was like, what? And the photo was Detlef Thomas with Theo Smith on the street. What is the exhibition? Mm-hmm. Okay, I went to Detlef Thomas Instagram and I realized that he has one day exhibition. Mm-hmm. So it's not exhibition, it's performance, or let's say maybe happening for mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. As I see it. He was standing on Theresienstrasse, right in front of, almost right in front of Teresa Pedroza exhibition. And he was standing in the park with a badge on which was written like his name, his age, his profession, so like mm-hmm. description for the object. And he was having the bag full of his stuff.
Of his jewelry?
Of his jewelry, mm-hmm. yes. Like maybe 7 or 8 boxes with his jewelry. Mm-hmm. He was Like in white, short, very good looking, very good perfume, by the way.
Okay.
So it was not like, I'm standing here, like very easy. He was like on the opening of the exhibition. And when I saw this post, I decided, okay, I cancel all my visits in galleries because galleries could wait. They will not close in a few hours. And this guy was standing there only for a few hours from 1 p.m. till 6 p.m. one day. And okay, I came there. I spent there more than 1 hour, I think. We were discussing jewelry field. We were speaking about possible future, what could change, what could not change, which problems jewelers have now. More than 1 hour, it was quite cold, but actually it was not important for me. I mean, I was having such a good time. And yeah, I loved it a lot. He decided to make the exhibition like this because why to be in a gallery? Why to be in such kind of strict system in a box? And yeah, and for me it's even like obvious. We're in 21st century. Exhibitions are not anymore only in galleries or in like perfect white spaces. And I always miss during different festivals in art, Biennale in Venice, everywhere. I always miss this playfulness. Yeah, so for now it's my favorite exhibition in Munich, but it's over already.
It's gone.
It's
she
gone.
Was just for,
it's gone.
For 6 hours.
Yes, and it's this, this beauty of the moment, and you feel the sense of time with such things, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what did you discuss about the gallery system for jewelry makers?
Yeah, it was a quite philosophical discussion. Well, will jewelers represent their things in future in galleries as it is like this now? And how festivals... this festival or other should change in which way? And actually it's the topic is not only for jewelry festivals. It's the same with all events, I think, connected with art, because from one side always it's a financial aspect. Like you pay for participation and so on, and from the other side, it's still art, and you always have to manage. You have to think about this balance of art and like business. And during some festivals, you can apply. You should like pay 12,000 euros for participation, and they will say, okay, you can participate. They will not even look at you, almost not look at your works, and it's only the financial question. For example, that's what I like mentioned yesterday, but for example, Venice Art Biennale or Architectural Biennale, they always have this official program. It's Venice, it's a huge machine of making, selling art, and this official program is always about national participation. You have pavilions like Denmark, Israel, and so on and so on. Like, and you have an official program which is organized like spontaneously. You can come to Venice and realize your project wherever you want. If you find some gallery or some place or some flat sometimes, you could do something in parallel, and you will have visitors if you promote it, if you just invite people from outside, from the street. And sometimes even for media, this unofficial program is more interesting than official. Because yes, an official program anyway, for like Poland Pavilion, it will be like Ministry of Culture, like very official organism who will decide who will represent the Poland. So it's still about this a competition of countries, of course. And an official program is about like anarchy, about the pure art for me.
And did I understand right that you have project during the Biennale in Lisbon.
Yes, yes. I will have. I see it as a continuation of my work in this in theory of jewelry. Mm-hmm. And this year will be Lisbon Jewelry Biennale. It's the second edition. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of jewelers would come there because it's something fresh, something new, mm-hmm. and people are interested. What do we see there? And Portugal is an exotic country. I can say it from my perspective as a migrant. And the topic of jewelry biennale will be political jewelry. Mm-hmm. It's connected with the history of a country. Not now, it's also very, let's say, a good fit in the context, in political context right now. But first of all, it's connected with the history of Portugal, where there was the longest dictatorship in Europe. Mm-hmm. And this year will be like 50 years as it fell down. Mm-hmm. So they celebrate it with it. And I like it so much with this topic of Biennale. And during the Biennale, I will organize, I will make an exhibition in my flat. Mm-hmm. The exhibition will be dedicated to migration. Mm-hmm. Well, political migration, but what we think when we say political migration, for me, almost any kind of migration is connected with political situation. If you are searching for better education, if you are not satisfied with your life or in country, you want to live better life or to try at least, you change country. It's also about political things. And I decided to make it in my flat because I think the topic of migration, it's not the topic about which I could speak in a perfect space of the gallery. Mm-hmm. And I decided that my flat will be kind of participant of the exhibition because I rent a flat. I am a migrant as well. It's very personal topic also. Mm-hmm. And my flat is representing the life of, let's say, classical migrant, maybe mm-hmm. in Portugal. It's very simple. It's absolutely not big. There will be maybe 5 or 7 participants. Tamara Marbeljoka will be there. Anna Escobar will be there. And some more. Mm-hmm. Helen Clara Hemsley. And it will be not only exhibition. I don't want to call it exhibition. It's a project because mm-hmm. I'm making a research. I'm reading books now about migration in different interpretations, mm-hmm. aspects, and people could visit the exhibition, the project, and could spend nice time in my flat. I will prepare like food for them and tea. I want to let them feel like home. Mm-hmm. One friend of mine said, but when I explained her my ideas, she said, maybe they should feel like migrants, not so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like opposite. It's an interesting idea, but I think it will be, they could not experience this if I will even make something like artificially not comfortable. They don't have, these visitors, they don't have experience of it. They will not feel this so profound. Mm-hmm. And I don't like people, me personally, to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I want to feel comfortable. Having tea, maybe even have a nap because we have bed there. And I don't plan to put out of my stuff because of the exhibition. I want my flat to stay as it is. Mm-hmm. Of course, I will arrange something. Mm-hmm. It will be not dirty. Yeah, but it will be such kind of exhibition. You can come to Lisbon.
I will come to Lisbon.
It will be in the and it will be very nice weather. It will be in the end of the June, and a lot of events will happen from 23 to 28th of June. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all visitors should like apply for a visit, let's mm-hmm. say, because anyway, it's my private space.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. How can I apply?
I have a website, and very soon I will announce, I think when I will return back to Lisbon, I will announce the website of the project, where there is a registration form. Mm-hmm. And you just put information, the time you want to see the exhibition, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There will be no face control.
And no passport control.
No passport, actually. Okay. Yeah. No passport control. It's a good question. Good comment. But yeah, my flat is not so big. So.
And this is also a possibility to ask you in my jewelry creating process for your thoughts and for your view, and you can write something or get in touch with me and discuss about the piece I'm working on.
Oh, of course, of yeah. course. I'm very open for everything, and yeah. Yes, yes. One friend of mine, she's making ceramics, and she asked me like maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago to write an artistic statement. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what a great idea. Actually, no one before asked me about it. And yeah, I wrote her artistic statement, and it was quite interesting. It's like, when you concentrate on one person, on her works, but she told like, wow, I never thought about this, about the things you wrote. It's interesting, the perspective of artist and perspective of a person who is looking on the object, but like not simple person, let's say, but person with artistic background. And
I thought maybe often when I'm in the process, I need somebody to talk with. How do you think? What's your view of the piece, or what's the view of the process of the work? And I thought it would be nice if I have a problem in my life, I go to the therapist. So if I have a problem in my work with my pieces, I would like to write you
or
send you a picture and ask you, can you help me,
like further supervision,
with thinking or with words or something.
It's interesting, yeah, as you compared the work of people who are writing about art and therapists. Yeah,
yeah,
there is something maybe therapeutical about it. Yeah.
Yeah, when you go to the therapist, you also ask for a different view of your perspective of your life.
But a good therapist never will give you like view or advice. They do. Yes, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And it's like they give you some thoughts and ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Yes, and then you make this all work by yourself, like do your homework and you understand something.
Yeah, and also it would be nice to get like a question, what you can take with in your process, and thinking about a question, what I got from you, from another view of the piece or of the process. So what is there something else you would like to talk about? Is there any other project you have? Or?
Not a project, but I will just tell that I'm curious about tomorrow. It will be March 2nd, about Herbert Hofmann Prize and like other winners, because I will write an interview with the person who will get the prize.
Ah.
Yeah, for our jewelry forum. But it's so interesting for me, like I will write interview, but I still don't know with whom. You put your hand in a black box, closing your eyes, and okay, I pick up something which I absolutely don't know. I cannot expect nothing. It's already organized that there will be an interview, but I still don't know with whom. And I think I'm quite open person, because with some people it's not so easy to speak. I mean, they're closed, you need to open them. and I'm very curious.
Thank you so much. I think you do a wonderful work with your thoughts and your words and your texts for the jewelry world and the jewelry field.
Thank you so much.
I'm really looking forward for your interview for the Herman Hofmann Prize.
Me as well. Let's see.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
Ich hoffe, dir hat diese Folge von Others and Me gefallen. Egal ob Schmuckschaffende, Sammelnde oder Forschende, ich interessiere mich für deine Geschichte zum Thema Schmuck. Wenn du also Lust hast, Teil dieses Podcasts zu werden, dann melde dich bei mir. Schreib mir eine E-Mail unter schmuck@othersandme.de oder schreibe und folge mir auf Instagram. Weitere Infos findest du in den Shownotes. Bis zum nächsten Mal.